Hi, welcome to another episode of Paul Thon Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got John Benz. He's the Director of Power and Connectivity for Core Brands. They make a variety of products, and he's responsible for those in the power sector. So, hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. The bottom line is there's a lot going on in this space. The reason that I brought you on board is you've got quite a few companies that directly operate in the home automation and smart home space, and in my humble opinion, I think that's going to be the battlefield where the smart grid meets the Internet of Things and where all the various negotiations on protocols and infrastructures and systems are going to have to be made.
Yeah, it's really we're really in the middle of a revolution out there. The dream that so many of us have been looking at for so many years. I remember going to Disneyland when I was a kid and going into the home of the future, and that's actually it's happening, you know, and it's really been enabled by the cloud and the fact that we all have remote controls for our lives in our pockets now with our phones, which are much more than phones.
Exactly.
And our company, has been in home automation and various levels of professionally installed either audio, video, media, or connectivity and automation for over 30 years with a number of different brands. And things have definitely changed quite a bit over the last, say, 5 to 10 years.
What would you say is the number one change in the home automation space that you really notice?
One big change, I think, is just general awareness and the lower cost of entry. So, even a few years ago, if you wanted to really have a smart home, it was a significant investment that was really only available to really well-off. It was always a professionally installed system, professionally monitored. It was basically sometimes started with security, but it was not in the general consciousness in any way. That certainly has changed now that we see service providers getting into home automation. The cost of entry is coming down. We're even seeing some do-it-yourself type solutions out there. Pretty much at this point, a lot more people can make a smart home out of their home if they want to. So it's really expanded the marketplace and the general awareness of what can be done among the general populace has expanded as well. That's all just been enabled by technology, though. It's not that there was ever more interest than before from the populace. It's just that now that the price points have come down to a place where people can actually afford to put these solutions into their homes.
And, of course, the cloud gives them the infrastructure that allows them to do it with. It's almost like I used to like to joke, it's the revenge of the thin client. The cloud is now giving everyone the ability, even though these devices are individually powerful, the ability to have a centralized control gives them an order of magnitude more functionality.
Absolutely. I mean, everything really used to be based on having basically a CPU of some sort in your home that would be the brains of the system. And now all that processing and all that, the connections can be kind of offsite with the cloud. And that gives a lot of different solutions, enables a lot of different solutions. Really what home automation is, it's all about integration. It's all about devices talking to each other and talking to the homeowner, and the homeowner having the ability to control these things in a simple way. Now that the cloud is kind of acting as this layer of communications, it's really enabled a lot of this to be much, much easier to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. So now, John, what would you say are the challenges in the power realm? You know, from your point of view as a power guy, what do you see as the challenges in home automation?
You know, it's interesting. The what we do, our primary customer base out there are to this day system installers, and we came out a couple years ago with a cloud-based platform for our power products. We manufacture high-end power conditioners and surge protectors for primarily home AV systems,
mm-hmm.
and so we decided to, you know, make these things, get these things on the cloud, and allow the ability to control the outlets and monitor the energy usage and turn things on and off over the internet. And that actually became very popular with systems integrators, because what happened was they were reducing their service calls. What happens when you're able to unplug something and plug it back in is often you can fix an issue with a very complex system, because you're able to do hard reboots on the internet. So if you picture yourself as a professional installer of these types of systems, and you get a call from one of your clients who maybe their television doesn't have a picture on the screen, or just something isn't working, maybe so their network is down. Typically they would have to either guide that client through the process of doing a hard reboot, or send a truck out to the site and do the hard reboot themselves. So the ability to do that over the internet has become really something in our space that has actually kind of created a category of products within the industry of home automation installation. The challenge has been kind of expanding that. It's a very powerful application, but how do we expand that to the end users and really create value there? Clearly there's energy management potential there. There's convenience factors, but the awareness of the smart grid, the general desire for people to save energy and to buy something that will save energy in their home, that market isn't really there yet. Interestingly enough, what people really like about our products isn't the energy factor; it's the convenience factor, it's the lifestyle, it's being
right.
That's when the kids should be playing the Xbox and. Or the TV when the kids should be doing their homework, that's more attractive in many ways than the energy saving. So we're kind of waiting for this whole energy intelligence market to kind of come to fruition among the general populace, because it's not there's definitely more awareness out there, but it's not really there yet among the mainstream users.
Right. But then again, John, can't we use the sizzle to sell the steak? The customer doesn't have to know they're saving energy. We can tell them, it doesn't matter how much energy it takes. You can now have your television set turn off whenever you feel like it.
And that's exactly it, Alex. We intended at the beginning, we thought, well, we have a great energy management system where you can schedule outlets to turn on and off. You can monitor your energy. You can save standby power. You can really control the electrical side of your bill, it's not that people really care about. It's just the convenience of using this kind of system. So it ends up being a kind of an add-on, third bullet point down, you might say, on what the benefits are. But at the end of the day, it's probably one of the bigger benefits that people run into is being able to control their energy in a more intelligent way.
Exactly. Well, that's one of the things I tell the people on the opto side of the house and the solid-state lighting. I tell them, we should be spending the effort to make better luminaires, because if you try to cram that technology retrofit into a bulb, look how long it's taken. Those were years that we could have been putting better alternate products in the marketplace, because people may not want to pay for the energy efficiency, but they'd love to have the ability to adjust the color temperature of their white light, or turn their outdoor lights from white for regular use to blue and green for Christmas to whatever color they want, because that's one way to sell the functionality, is to sell the luxury aspects of the functionality. The energy savings, icing on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. Icing on the cake. It's really all about the experience. And we're getting so used to electronics being able to enable a better lifestyle, and that's really what people are coming to expect. The smartphone revolution also, along with in tandem with the cloud, I believe in the next few years. Right now when I leave the house, I make sure I have my phone, I have my keys, and I have my wallet. And I think in the next few years, it's just going to be my phone, because I'll be able to start my car, get into my house, pay for everything I need to. Everything will be with the phone. So it's really, I call it the remote control for your life, because it's really used for just about everything, and turning things on and off, controlling your lights, all that. That's where things are headed. Is that it's funny that we still use this kind of old name of it, of it being a phone. It's not a phone. It's a little computer that does so many things, and that
stopped being a phone a long time ago.
It really has. And it's kind of like this legacy term we use. Oh, it also makes phone calls, by the way. I probably spend less time on my phone actually using it as a phone than I do just about anything else. So, it's
you
really,
might as well call it a pocket watch.
Exactly, precisely. So that has really definitely been a part of this revolution that we're seeing as well, where it's enabling this Internet of Things, which is ultimately enabling the Jetsons home that has been talked about since the 1950s of actually having an intelligent home. Really, it all comes down to the convenience and the lifestyle.
On a complete non sequitur, John. There's a underground joke that the Jetsons, the reason you never saw the ground and they were on stilts is it was all a blasted wasteland, and so that's why you have to walk the dog up on stilts.
Sure.
On a treadmill and all.
Yeah, you do wonder what was going down beneath the clouds there, what happened to the planet.
Right, 'cause they never went down there.
Yeah, they never did. You never saw anything on the surface of the Jetsons world.
The interesting part. Oh, well. So, now, having said all of that, tell us a little bit more about the product offerings you have, just so that our audience has a bit of an overview of what you can offer, and then you give us your URL, and we'll let you go.
Great. Line of products that we have falls under a couple different brands. We've been serving the AV audio video community for a number of years, going all the way into professional audio and even the music industry. So we have products under Panamax brand, that's panamax.com, under Furman Sound, and then the platform that we use to kind of connect to the internet is called Blue Bolt, and that's the website for that is mybluebolt.com. The Blue Bolt is really the cloud platform, it enables the users of these products, which are very high-end power conditioners, so they'll do both the surge protection and then the filtering to keep the power clean and deliver the best power to these sensitive AV systems. That's the Blue Bolt Cloud kind of has become our centralized spot for controlling all this over the internet. The nice thing about what you can do with the products is not only can you turn the outlets on and off for everything remotely, so you can, like I mentioned, the hard reboots before, but you can use it to save energy. And then we have voltmeters and ammeters in these products, so we're constantly tracking all the energy usage. We're sending that up to our cloud, so you can view that and see where, at the point of use, where the energy is being used, which is different from when you get your electric bill. You just kind of see the whole house, but when you look at the point of use, you can see, what's actually causing your bill to maybe go up or down over certain amounts of times. You can schedule commands. You can get alerts on different power conditions, such as over voltage conditions or under voltage or blackouts. So, a lot going on with the cloud pieces. The hardware side of it, we have everything from a power conditioner, 8 outlets that would go into your AV system, to battery backup units, to smart plug units. And the smart plugs are fairly new for us, but these are, compact boxes that would plug directly into your outlet. And then we do use a Zigbee gateway to kind of connect the cloud to create the communications and get the commands back and forth using the Zigbee mesh.
And then back to something you said earlier, just a little bit earlier, when you were talking about the capabilities, I would almost say that that's one of the ways to get the economic savings into people's minds, is because some people would look at an itemized bill as a luxury because it's nice to see, but then as they start seeing, they actually implement energy savings because they're trying to save money then, because they can actually see where the errors and the losses are, whereas if you ask them up front, they would probably not realize they could use that functionality in that way.
Yeah, that and that's really, you know, what it does end up being a nice fringe benefit is you know, we're monitoring power use at the outlet, which is, you know, about as a direct a point of use as you can get. So, you know, we kind of envision this as the whole home, you know, your utility bill, for example, that's a, think of that as your entire pie, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you slice that pie up? With the smart grid now, you know, I know here in Northern California with our utility, I'm getting much better information than I ever have. I'm able to see when the energy was used over the course of the month, so I can see the swings up and downs. I get a comparison of where I stand against, you know, other homes my size. So, you know, clearly we're getting more intelligence and information. But everything is, of course, still at, you know, being tracked at that meter that's taking that whole circuit panel and doing the whole home. You know, slicing down and getting a little bit deeper granularity does have some nice benefits as we move further into you know, this vision of being able to really control our energy, do demand response, and be intelligent about how we use our energy so we can be more efficient. And, you know, we do feel that in the future this is definitely going to be driven by utilities. You know, we have Flex Alerts up here in Northern California that, you know, they ask us, please turn off your energy-consuming devices during the hot summer days so that we don't have rolling brownouts. And ultimately, those will probably be demand response alerts that go out to devices. So the utilities will actually be, you know, kind of communicating through the smart grid to the smart home. And that's an interaction that is definitely – the groundwork has been laid out, but it will probably be a couple of years before we see that come to fruition.
Yes, and that's going to be interesting. And obviously, that may turn out to be as much of a legislative issue as it is a technical issue when you start talking about how invasive should we allow the grid to be in our lives.
Exactly. And it's interesting, you know, working through this and seeing, you know, the different utilities and how they're reacting. Because right now, utilities, you know, their goal is really to actually bring energy down, which seems counterintuitive because you think, well, they're charging for the energy. But no, they really want you know, us to be as efficient as possible, so they, because it's incredibly expensive to build, say, peaker plants or you know, solutions for when there's just too much energy being used on the grid. And a lot of that energy at those certain times of the day or the year where the grid just isn't built to sustain all the energy and electricity that's being demanded, you know, it's very expensive to maintain those few moments, you know, throughout the year, and the grid just isn't built currently for that kind of efficiency. So being able to spread the energy usage out, it really comes down to us as users, and just being able to you know, treat our electricity in a more balanced way. That goes back to, is it going to be convenient for us to do that?
know,
how much is that going to affect our lifestyle? Because that's really what we don't want in our lives. We don't want interruption. We want to be able to use what we want when we want. So it's an interesting dynamic, the privacy concerns, you know, have already kind of started to circulate with the smart meters, and, you know, are those secure? Are people going to be able to, you know, hack into our meters and turn our stuff off and things like that? People really don't like that invasiveness. But at the same time, how can we connect as best we can, you know, the utilities, the homeowners, and the electronics together to make this a seamless and convenient transition for everybody, and just make us all more efficient? That's really the goal.
Exactly, I agree with you completely. You're so right, John. And well, but then that's again one of the reasons that we're all discussing this, because as an industry, we should be creating the solutions ourselves, and we should be addressing them like within IEEE groups and such, because it's best if we create the solutions than have them imposed upon us by parties that don't understand the technologies.
That's exactly right. You know, and just understanding, you know, what people really, really want, and trying to bridge that to what we need to do, you know, as far as keeping efficiency going. That's really the trick. And there's definitely solutions out there, and it's a rapidly changing, dynamic, you know, environment with the changes in technology and consumer mindsets and, you know, even the legislation. Things are really changing every day, so it's an exciting time to be involved in power, which traditionally, you know, is, for us, we were talking about, you know, protection and filtering your AV, you know, equipment. And it got, you know, it's fun to be talking about something new because we were talking about that for so long that it's fun to be talking about the cloud and things like that. There's a lot going on in the world of technology these days.
Yes, I agree with you completely, John. In fact, I marvel at it so often. I'm surprised my listeners are still tolerant of me saying it, but it is. The power has, and the way people think about power has changed.
Yep.
I'll leave it at
yep.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you, John, for taking the time to be with us. I'm really glad you took the time because, like I said, this whole area of smart grid, smart home automation, it's an area that we're literally building the rules as we're building the technologies, and so it's very important to hear the viewpoint from as many different points of view as available.
Oh, well, great. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's really a new frontier, so it's an exciting time to be involved.
Excellent. Thanks. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paltz for Paltz on Power. Have a great day.